Back. Hopefully, I've got our next guest on the phone now, and we're joined by Alison Palmer of the Federation of Small Business. Hello, Alison.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, and I can hear you loud and clear, and that's really lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. You are the person that is busy.
Well, I think a lot of us are. I think I'm one of the very many who are trying to, do a bit here and there.
Yeah, but most of us haven't got any work or got very little. You've got five times as much as you normally have, so I do...
Well, I tell you what, if I can outsource my children, people are welcome to those as well. They're homeschooling as well, so, yeah.
I think one of the things we discovered during this COVID outbreak for those that are homeschooling is just how important teachers are.
Oh, my goodness, 100%. Yes, I suddenly appreciate them all the more now, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, Alison, apart from homeschooling, looking after your children and doing all those other lovely things, you've been up to lots of things. The Federation of Small Business has been working tirelessly trying to support businesses through this horrendous time that we're suffering.
Absolutely.
And... The problem is, we live in such a diverse economy that, and of course, nobody planned for this. Nobody planned for this. So the government have rushed things out, and of course, lots of people have fallen through the gaps. But you guys have been busily, like the little chap in the apocryphal story of the boy with his finger in the dike. You've been running around trying to plug holes, haven't you?
Absolutely. No, that's a good way of looking at it. Because, and you're right. Sometimes it feels like. The 5.8 million businesses across the UK, each one has got a slightly different scenario, and they're not quite covered by whatever is the latest report or the latest announcement from government. But you're right, and my team at head office have been honestly quite astonishing. They're really knowledgeable policy officers, and if any of you can sign up to our weekly brief, which is something that anyone can access via our general website, you don't have to be a member. You get a weekly email about all the different meetings that our volunteer members and our staff take part in, and it has been flat out non-stop talking directly and taking all of this evidence and all of these stories and case studies and survey data to the Treasury, HM Finance, UK Finance, the Prime Minister, the Chancellor, you name it, we have spoken to them absolutely to get what we can for small businesses so that they're not overlooked and they're not forgotten.
Absolutely.
We don't need to go through. I mean, they're still coming out. There was the announcement on Thursday, the bounce back loan, that's just started today.
Yep.
You can now apply. Self-employed income has just come online today.
Yep.
And then last week, Paul, you would have heard about this one as well, the £617 million discretionary grants available. That's all in the last 3-4 days.
So, yeah, absolutely.
We're absolutely involved in all of those conversations, and a phrase that I quite liked is that we're now mapping the gaps. So we know that there's people that have fallen outside of this multi-billion pounds worth of support that's been announced.
Yep.
And we still want to hear about that. So we actually ran a survey, it just closed last week. Over 5,000 businesses took part in it. All of that brings us our evidence. It was 1,000 businesses from the southeast, so we'll have a look at that as soon as those results come out. And so we're using all of that kind of information, and we continue to take that to local authorities. I was on a Zoom call this morning with 30 people who are all representatives from all the local councils across Kent and the Kent Medway Growth Hub and Kent County Council. So all of that is absolutely happening behind the scenes. No, we're not stopping yet.
Absolutely. I've got to say, credit where credit's due, I'm not the greatest fan of HMRC and people like that, I have to be honest. But they have done a tremendous job, under very difficult circumstances. They have rushed out things, and I think apart from one small overload crash, most things have worked in some way or another, and they've been very good at getting back on things and stuff. I mean, even my old mum, bless her, completely left field, out of left field, she got a letter from HMRC saying she owed 200 quid. She's 91. Owed 200 quid in tax, and of course she's of the age where she doesn't like that at all. So she was straight onto HMRC, and they said, "Oh, we're really busy at the moment. Can we get back to you?" And she said, "Yeah, but I know your money,
but that's an unusual request.
But to be honest, Within 2 days, they had got back to her and they had found the mistake, admitted they'd made a mistake and told her not to worry. And, you know,
well,
I mean,
that is really good news.
Which is brilliant, you know, under the circumstances that they're operating under.
But, yeah. Well, I heard one comment from Greg Clark. He was talking to Tunbridge Wells Businesses a couple of weeks ago. And this is an example, you're right, like everyone is suddenly thrown into a work from home scenario. And some of us are absolutely fine with that completely. And others are going, what on earth is happening? And actually, Tunbridge Wells Borough Council, they were holding dial-in phone conversations. They hadn't got this facility for a video platform like Zoom or something.
Right.
But they would have open conversations with the chief exec and with the local MP there, Greg Clark, ex-business minister. And they'd have 100 or 150 businesses on that call because the council were keen to hear from the businesses and show what they were doing to help.
Mm.
And this was a good few weeks ago. And actually, that's when Greg Clark said, a lot of these announcements that have been made is the kind of a project or a scheme that might take 6 or 9 months to scope it out, to map it out, to put it out to consultation, to set it up, the formal processes, to get the banks accredited. So this has all happened in reverse, where a massive announcement has taken place, and then we want it to be ready immediately, but actually we need to give a slight bit of leeway, which is hard to do when you've got staff to pay and bills to pay, to get that process in place. But we're starting to hear now that the cash grants are coming through to businesses. The civils, the coronavirus business interruption loan scheme, it was really crunky and it was overwhelmed initially. We put forward so many case studies and examples there saying how this process needs to be improved, and even improvements were happening within the space of days. So you know, they're There's a lot of work going on.
Absolutely. You know, and I think we all need to bear this in mind that, you know, the response to this, everybody can carp quite easily, but you try having to roll this out in an emergency situation. And I, to be quite frank, I'm amazed that it hasn't gone more horribly wrong than it has, where it has. And, you know,
suppose there's scope for error. Yeah, all the council staff are working from home, you know. And that's all the people who are on the business rates checking scheme or who are issuing the grants, who are dealing with inquiries.
Yep.
So it's not a normal for any of us. And all those support schemes that we do rely on or we want to get more support from, they're individual human beings in the same boat as the rest of us. So, yeah, there's definitely scope for error there. But nice to hear HMRC on top of it, for your mum at least.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, I mean, I think people, you know, I've seen people trying to gang up and, you know, start hashtags about nonsense stuff. And it does annoy me because, you know, you've got to cut people a bit of slack. This is unprecedented. This has all been rolled out in the space of 6 weeks from not knowing we needed it to actually being implemented. And in something as large as a national economy, that is staggering.
Oh, it's major. It's also unprecedented times of the use of the word unprecedented.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a whole new vocabulary out of this. I understand that Zooming is already entering into next year's Oxford English Dictionary.
Surely. Yeah. The new Z word, yeah.
But, of course, there are still some people that are falling through the cracks because of, you know, this, that or the other. But I have to say, and I don't expect you to comment on this because it's just my opinion, but I have seen a couple of people moaning that, you know, they don't qualify. And when you look at their businesses, you think, well, why would you qualify? Your business, I don't see how your business would be affected by this because, you know, you're in a business that's allowed to keep working. So I'm not really sure why.
No, you're right. And I'll say, kind of neutrally, if you like, what it has really highlighted is some businesses who've reacted so amazingly. Pivot, that's another new word, isn't it?
We're all pivoting.
So on our heels, spinning around. So they've adapted manufacturing lines, product lines, they've got products, and they've uploaded their now e-commerce, they're delivering door-to-door. Some businesses have absolutely been so entrepreneurial and made the most of a really tricky situation. And others, you're right, others it will highlight it in terms of there were cracks in their business potentially already, and that maybe it wasn't so robust as they thought it was, so this has just concertinaed that time when maybe in 6 months they realised they wouldn't have been doing so well.
Absolutely.
As it is, it's forced everything into a cliche, really sharp focus, where some are doing very well and some through absolutely the situation, you know, if you haven't got any income, that's really difficult to deal with.
Sure.
But others, it might have been, as you said, that the business wasn't as robust as they thought before all this happened.
Absolutely. Now then, where we are now is we have 6 million people on furlough.
Wow.
6 million people have been furlowed. Mm. The worry is how many of those won't go back to work at the end. My numbers, I don't want to scare anyone, but my numbers are looking like 4 million, 5 million unemployed. When we go back, bearing in mind there's 1.5 million unemployed already. So we're adding like 3 million to that. So we're going to have a massive unemployment problem when this, you know, as this starts to unfold. We are sadly going to lose a lot of businesses because I'm stating this. Feel free to join in at any time. But, you know, for me, businesses are being supported through this as best we can. But there's going to be a lot of catching up to do. You know, once the lockdown is removed completely and we're all back to work, we're going to have debts to pay because a lot of us have just furloughed our VAT and corporation tax
just
payments.
Delayed payments, absolutely, or taken on a loan with a delayed repayment scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got to be paid back, but they've got to be paid back out of a business that is no longer generating any income because we've got no pipeline of business. We've got to go out and generate more business.
And that's where I think, Paul, and as you're, I'm sure we're all starting to hear this now, we're starting to beginning to think, what does the next step look like? We've actually run some webinars with one of our members, Peter Searle, on how to work on your business during lockdown and what you can do, looking at financial accounts and management accounts and taking a step back and a step out of your business and mentally, really objectively planning ahead. But more generally, FSB on a national level, and as I mentioned this morning, I was talking to Kent County Council and the Growth Hub, and we are trying now to think about what does the next step look like? What can we do to support some of those businesses, including those ones who've just started up?
Yep.
What about those businesses who started up, you know, starting off 2020 with a new business and they're going to be independent? So, and people like that who fell through the gap. So there's absolutely work going on behind the scenes. And I'd be really interested to hear from anybody who's got suggestions or ideas, because we do feed all of that in up to those decision makers, and we can influence those decisions on how businesses can survive the lockdown, how they can revive their business, and then how they can go on to continue. Potentially, some of these 4 to 5 million people that you think are going to be unemployed could have got an entrepreneurial idea or spirit, and they will be setting up on their own. We know it's risky, but I think there'll be different sorts of support schemes in place. Kent County Council are looking at, you've all heard of things of the South East Business Boost. So different funding options that have previously been available to small and medium enterprises across the South East. They're looking at how they can simplify that, how they can make applications more succinct, how they can make it work for a bigger audience. Things like you could apply for these sorts of loans even if you've already been turned down from other loans, for example. So they're seeing how they could best support the economy, which is going to be fragile. So there are those conversations taking place, which I hope people would think is reassuring.
Absolutely. And also, one of the things that always comes out of a tragedy is opportunity. You know, we will all be going off in a different direction. We've talked a lot during the show today and previous shows about a greater move to working from home and a greater move towards using technology in things like the housing market and the recruitment market and what have you. Some of the other things that I expect to happen are a big upturn in manufacturing.
Right. Well, I've just got a few examples here. Can I butt in? It's like a conversational
Off
with you, isn't it? It's like, no, me. A few great examples of those businesses who kind of pivoted or adapted or are helping. There's one, makemasksuk.org. You can find that on the website. So it's Kent and Medway manufacturing companies who've got sewing facilities.
Right.
So they've now all got together. They've worked with Locate in Kent. And they are now selling, sewing and selling non-medical face masks for businesses. So that when you do go back to work, and they'll be saying, potentially, they might be saying, go back with social distancing, we might all need to wear face masks.
Yep.
There's already firms in Kent and Medway who are starting to make all these. And you can just find that website online now and either put in an order or say, well, I want to make them as well and be part of this group, which that's a brilliant one. Other friends of ours, Good Food Wines in Medway, they usually make vinegars and they import wines for the ready meal trade, you know, for cooks, those lovely, yep, tasty ready meals. So they do that. Well, they've said, well, we've got all this wonderful manufacturing facilities, so they're now making hand sanitizer, and they're also supplying PPE for people who, for businesses who are going to get back to work, who want to look after their staff. That's a couple of great manufacturing examples. And there's other people like, when you think about Kent being such a lovely food and drink sector in a rural economy, if you like, produced in Kent, you've got the whole website, Help Kent Buy Local.
Yep.
There's a new one, isn't there, now, an A to Z with Vicky. She just launched it online, a little marketing company, doing an A to Z of all those smaller suppliers. So I think, yep, you're absolutely right. Out of this really tragic situation for so many, there's some real fantastic good news stories when you start to look.
Absolutely, and I think going forward in years rather than months, you will see a bigger upturn in onshoring and manufacturing, because overseas supply chains got very stretched during this.
Absolutely.
And I think I've heard government muttering about not wanting to be so exposed in future to being reliant on medical equipment from overseas supply chains. So
yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of smaller manufacturing businesses start up over the coming years, manufacturing stuff that was offshored and outsourced because it was cheaper to do that. And for all kinds of reasons, a lot of that's going to come back onshore. So I think there's going to be a fairly radical change in how we do business going forward as well. But I agree, and I think just simple things like face masks are going to be a thing. And what I mean,
and we don't want a great big delivery lead time on it, on a supply chain issue. So if they're being made in Kent, you know, buy it from Kent. It absolutely all makes sense, doesn't it?
A lot of the things that
FSB's been talking about for years about buying local and procuring locally. So the local authorities and that government, who NHS, who spend hundreds of millions of pounds, don't buy it when you don't have to from overseas. So completely agree.
I think we're going to see that, and I think, as I said, I think face masks are going to be a thing even when this pandemic is over, you know, as they are in certain Asian countries where people, as a matter of course, tend to wear face masks if they got a cold or whatever. I think you'll see a lot more of that over here in the West in future. So, you know, all those kind of things are going to require businesses to do stuff. So there's lots happening. I know you're busy, and I know you've got another Zoom call coming up. But I just want to touch base with something that's close to both you and my heart, which is our 30-30 program, which is a program that we take into schools where we introduce schools to the world of business. Obviously, our target market in that is GCSE and A-level students, and they've been really badly hit by what's going on at the moment because all their exams have been cancelled.
Yep.
And, of course, all of our 30-30s have been cancelled as well because none of the kids are at school.
And that's such a shame, Paul, as you know, because we were just about to come up to 2,000 participants in our Skills 30-30 project, which I know you and I would have been so proud of. So, we've got to keep these links with the education sector. We've got these really great links with schools and with heads of years and with career leads within schools, and I don't think, you know, none of us want to let that go. And actually the Zoom call I've got on shortly is about the apprenticeship graduation ceremony. So we're looking at what on earth might that look like. We were due to have another graduation ceremony at Rochester Cathedral this October. Well, obviously that's very uncertain, so we've got plans A, B and C, and we're brainstorming plan C this afternoon.
Right. Absolutely. So we will be doing things on 30-30. It may change initially as we focus on different things, depending on how things unravel in terms of the lockdown.
Absolutely. It's a link. For now, my key role is absolutely looking after those small businesses and the self-employed as best we can across the whole of the Southeast. But part of that is almost that pipeline of next staff, you know, and expanding your business and getting that next element of talent. So all of those links that we've had and those businesses who've taken part in the Skills 30-30, we do, you know, we need to do a bit of looking after them, don't we, Paul? And we want to make sure that people know we haven't just dropped it and forgotten about it. We need to let it, the situation cool off perhaps a little bit or change a little bit before we can pick up Skills 30-30 absolutely potentially in a different way.
Absolutely.
How it was. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And those young people are going to need us more than ever because their options are changing radically. There's a lot of confusion in the market over what's going to happen with their exams and all the rest of it. So, yeah, interesting days as normal. Look, Alison, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule to join us on the Bunker Show.
No, thanks for having me, Paul.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Keep on keeping on. We are so appreciative of what you and the team at the FSB have done on our behalf.
Yeah. We're getting there. Okay.
Stay safe and thanks so much,
Paul.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right. Take care.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alison Palmer there of the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. So we're going to hear from Jules in a minute. I've still got loads of information. I've got tweets coming in as well, and I found some of the tweets that I was missing earlier. The lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, she said, I'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please. Thanks to all our unsung heroes for their exceptional role in caring for the vulnerable despite all the current risks. The love and care the team show continues to leave me awestruck. Absolutely. And I can only echo those sentiments, Kim. You're absolutely right. One of the things that I think people have now discovered is how important a lot of workers are that haven't been given the credit that they should have been given in the past. A lot of those carers and supporters are on minimum or very low wages. And they have continued to do their work. They've continued to be there for us. And I think it's something that we really need to take a long, hard look at when we go forward in terms of how we feel about those people, how we reward them, and how we ensure that people that work in those career paths are suitably rewarded and recognised for what they do. So thank you for that, Kim. Absolutely. I've had a couple of tweets, actually, from the lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings. And first off, they said, good afternoon, Business Bunker. We hope that you're all staying safe and well. As a socially distanced and responsible member of the Federation of Small Business, we would love to connect with and build relationships with fellow members during this time and beyond. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. If you are fellow members of the FSB, it's DC Weddings UK is their Twitter handle. And they also tweeted about half an hour ago about the conversation I was having with Mark Greenwood, and they've tweeted a photograph of their garden. And is this a garden office you've got here, Paul and Polly? They just said we're listening from our garden, but there's a picture of a shed at the end, and that looks very much to me like that could be converted into an office, Paul. So don't sit around drinking all afternoon, mate. Get out there and convert your shed into an office. That's what I'm recommending. So thank you for that. Do keep your tweets coming. ZC Social Media. Over the last few weeks, we've been delivering various webinars to share the key things you need to consider when creating and posting your social media updates. We've been helping many businesses and working with clients and seen some amazing things going on. You can access the recording of our free webinar, Content Planning, Content Creation and Planning Uncertain Times. I'll give you the link in a minute. It's packed full of ideas to maintain your engagement, traffic and conversations, and will guide you through what you should be posting and the key things you need to consider in the current climate. If you want to hear again the recordings of that webinar, it can be found at gettalk.at/ZC webinar recordings. I'll give you that again. It's gettalk.at/ZC webinar recordings. Check it out. Or you can go straight to their website at zcsocialmedia.com.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Now, as you know, for the last 6 weeks, I've been here on my own doing this show, which has proved a bit lonely. So I took the opportunity, or in fact, Jules took the opportunity to contact me last week, and we had a little chat on Zoom, and we recorded it for your delight and dereliction. So here it is. Have a listen to this.
Just zoomed in to meet the lovely Paul Andrews to see how he's coping in the COVID-19 that's affected all of us in the world, the whole world, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. Everybody's suffering. I've never known anything like this. I don't think any of us have. It's actually totally unprecedented. And we're in very strange times.
It is. And we're learning new words, aren't we? We've had to learn things like lockdown.
Yeah.
What other new words are there?
Well, we're into pandemic and social distancing and...
pangolin.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Who knew what a pangolin was before?
I know, spiny anteaters, eh? Scaly anteaters.
Yeah. I think people are being really gung-ho and like, getting on with it and adjusting really quickly, don't you?
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's lots of issues, you know, outside of the obvious issues. I've just been on the phone to my mum. And my mum's been really brilliant all the way through this.
Yeah.
But she started to get a bit upset today because she was saying, you know, she's 91, and she's saying she just read a report that the over 70s have got to lock down and stay isolated for over a year. And she's saying, I can't do that. I just can't do that. So, you know, we're trying to come to terms with how we handle all these things. And it's also how we handle it going forward. When things start to improve a little bit and they start to let us out and what we do, it's really, really difficult. I'm not going to try and blame anybody because there's no politician, there's no government, there's no organisation that could really have planned how to deal with this.
Exactly.
It's so unprecedented.
And they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. So they Absolutely. Were told off for being too slow on the lockdown. Now they're being told off for not letting us out. So they can't win.
And there's all different types of people with all different kinds of issues and different things they want to do. You know, we're all in this boat where we're having to muddle through. We're all going to make mistakes. Things are not going to be right, and we just have to keep adjusting as we go along. You know, there's no other way to do it. That's the way it is.
I think the gut reaction at the beginning was to be very, very strict with people, like sitting on benches. I think somebody got told off for sitting in their front garden by the police and that. And I know that there was droning, you know, showing people walking their dogs and things. And I think that's calmed down a bit. And what I'm thinking is, like, my window cleaner hasn't come. Let's talk about first world problems. But, you know, window cleaner hasn't come. Gardener hasn't come for my mum. So my mum's 89, like yours.
Yeah.
She's mowing her own lawn. She shouldn't be mowing her
own lawn. When she's done it, can she do mine?
That's pop round. You've got a sit.
Come on, Ruth, come and do my lawn.
You've got a ride on, haven't you?
I haven't got a lawn mower at all.
A lawn mower?
I haven't got a lawn mower at all, no.
Oh, didn't you used to have a sit and ride one?
Yeah, no, but my gardener brings that. And he's not coming, so, you know, it's a jungle out there.
This is what I don't understand.
I found Japanese soldiers from the Second World War in my lawn.
Did they have any rations? Because I run out of pineapple.
Yeah.
And I can't get an olive. Any olives for love or money. Talking about food, of course, the local shops have been amazing. I know you live in a town, Tenterden. I've had deliveries from the local fruit and veg. Amazing. And the Good Shed in Canterbury have delivered my fresh crab, fresh fish to me and my mum. So that's been great.
I have to say, my local village shop has been unbelievably brilliant.
Yeah.
Shop around the clock in St Michael's. They have all the basics.
Great name.
Del and his family that run it have been absolutely fabulous. They have not run out of anything, basics.
Wow.
Not price gouged anything. Yeah, all the usual price. They've been very good at only allowing three people in the shop at a time. And it's worked really well. They've been really fabulous. And I'm making a conscious effort that when this is over, I'm going to buy more stuff from them than I normally would. Because they've been an absolute godsend during this. Local businesses have saved us, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And you're right. You know, I hope the people that tend to shop in supermarkets for convenience will remember who has looked after them. And it's the same, you know, we've got local bread makers delivering loaves of bread, you know, and we've got Dunn's in Tankerton that's dropping a loaf off to my mum's every week. I phone them and I'm paying them by backs once a month. It's, you know, it's amazing.
It's like I saw on Twitter yesterday. A lady in Tunbridge Wells or West Kent somewhere said her parents, her aged parents, were unable to get a delivery slot, and they've been trying for like 5 days.
Yeah.
And immediately, Jane Apps, you know, Jane came straight on. I can deliver. What do they want? What do they need? I'll pop it round now. You know, so those local organisations, those local suppliers are the people that have saved us. And I want everyone to remember this when we come out of this, how important our local businesses and our communities have been. And it's indicative to me of what we'd lost as a society. It's that human contact. It's that knowing your neighbours. It's local suppliers go, well, we know your mum's old. You know, we know Ruth. Does she need anything? That's been lost. And here's a classic. When the government announced the CBILS scheme with the banks to loan money, the whole thing fell apart. And in my opinion, the reason it fell apart is the banks closed all their branches. They don't have branch managers. They don't know any of the businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
So when a business came along and said, I want to borrow money, they went, oh, well, let's look at your numbers. No, no, you can't have that. They didn't know the business. They had no connection with them. They had no relationship with them, so they weren't able to make a decision. Whereas in the old days with a bank manager, he would have known Jules Serkin.
Yeah.
And when you walked into your branch, he would have gone, hello, Jules, what's the matter, love?
Yeah, nice top.
I need to borrow some money.
Nice top. Look, I've put a special top on, especially green. Because I would say on lockdown, my new husband has let his standards fall in dress and beard and everything. But I'm trying to keep morale up, and I make a point of having. I think keeping a routine is really important. That some people aren't working. We've got luckily quite a bit of work still. Plus the extras, because there's no gardener and nobody coming around to help. So I've made a point of putting a bit of blusher on, a bit of lippy, and I've done my roots.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah, your roots look good.
Yeah, I changed my pyjamas once as well.
And also we do have a meeting in the garden about 6:30, 7 o'clock for a daiquiri.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed. I've seen the pictures.
If anybody wants to know the recipe, it's a freshly squeezed grapefruit, which I got from Staines Farm Shop, delivered. Thank you, guys. They didn't just deliver one grapefruit. White rum, which I found at the back of my cocktail cabinet because I'd run out.
The Christmas leftovers.
Yeah, and a bit of eggnog. No, not really.
Yeah, yeah, some creme de menthe.
And then a bit of mistletoe. A squeeze of lime and a little bit of sugar, and whiz it up, and it lots of ice. And so that's what I do. I have a little cocktail hour, just me and the old man. And this weekend, I've insisted he dresses up for it because he is slouching a bit.
So what? Have we got the full dicky bow and dinner suit?
Maybe not, but maybe something a bit tropical, you know, a nice pair of shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I've made sure that we have, you know, brunch at the time that we always used to have brunch, even though, you know, because me, it's a bit like Christmas. I will stay up later and later and later watching films. Mm. You know, I'm quite a night bird. But then I would get up later and later. And I know you've ribbed me about what time I get up as it is.
Yeah.
But I've tried to get up sort of 7:38, whereas ideally I would roll out of bed about 9, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to keep that, and I make a coffee at a certain time, and so I think routine is really important.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. I mean, yeah.
A bit of structure.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And, of course, what we need now is to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we need to... I'm not having a go at the government for not having a plan yet, because I think we all need a plan. We all need to think about how we unwind this and what we do.
Yeah.
Because we can't just stop and all rush outside. That's not going to happen. I'm sure that we're going to have to wear masks. We're going to have to maintain social distancing for a long time. And there's only going to be certain things open. The things that interest me in trying to save the economy, because a lot of businesses are going to go out of business, small businesses. Yeah. They just are.
And the restaurants and cafes.
And that's what worries me, is things like bars, pubs, restaurants and big meeting places will be the last to unwind. But if what would really worry me is how you're going to do that. Because if you say to a restaurant, right, well, you can open, but you must have social spacing, so you can only have 5 people in your restaurant.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It can actually be worse to open.
Yeah.
Than not open at all.
By the time you've paid a chef...
Exactly. By the time you've paid covers, the staff, you've actually lost more money by being open.
Yeah, you'd probably have to have a set price, wouldn't you? And it's almost like exclusive fine dining. That would work.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I was thinking about this and I was thinking about how you do that, I was thinking that the only way you could make this viable is to make it like a membership-based thing.
Yeah.
So you could say to a restaurant, look, you could invite 100 members to pay a membership to be able to use your restaurant.
Yeah.
You can't have any more than 10 in on a night or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they've got the membership, if they've got the guaranteed income from those 100 members, you can plan your opening a lot better.
Because, also, if those members could have a takeaway as well once a week or once a fortnight.
Exactly. Yeah, so basically you've got to start building from scratch. The other thing that I think the government are really going to need to think about is that so far all the schemes they've put in place to help us over the last couple of months, which are now starting to pay out, on its own, that's not going to save us.
No.
All that's done is held off the inevitable.
Yeah.
They've got to think about what we do when we start to unwind. And that's where it becomes crucial whether they go for lockdown or complete kickstart. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to try and kickstart the economy, they've got to do some really heavy thinking about scrapping taxes and all kinds of things and all kinds of restrictive regulations, at least on a temporary basis.
So we can fly again.
We can actually start trading again.
Yeah.
Because on last week's show, I talked to Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were saying
about... This was just yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Time for
So one of the things we were saying is that the government have been good and said, right, you don't have to pay your quarterly VAT bill yet. You don't have to pay your corporation tax yet. But you do have to pay that at some time.
Yeah, you've got to find it.
So when in 3 months' time, when they say, right, you can go back to work, basically, when you open your doors again, you've got no customers, you've got no income, you've got the costs of running the business, plus you're already in debt because you didn't pay the last quarters.
Yeah, you're backpedaling before you even start.
That is what will kill businesses.
Mm.
Yeah, because a business will look at that and go, I can't recover from that. It's the slope is too steep.
Yeah.
I can't recover from that. So we're going to need a growth plan at that point that says, you haven't got to pay this back yet. Or, do you know what? I know it's a massive hit to the economy, but I think they've got to write it off.
Yeah, I think they should. But we're all going to be paying much higher taxes.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, and our kids' generation.
The effects of this are global.
Yeah.
And there's ramifications for years and years and years, maybe decades.
I think talking about the government, they were very slow on the PPE, the personal protective equipment, and definitely in the care homes. I mean, it's awful to watch the care home stories.
The problem with all of that is that it's all great in hindsight. But, when you plan something, you can only plan with what you can envisage, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine what would have happened if the government had stockpiled, I don't know, 40 billion quid's worth of
PPE.
Face masks and we didn't need it? Everybody would be going mad. They'd be going, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
It's always great in hindsight, these things. And, of course, the Germans haven't got any PPE. The Irish haven't got any PPE. You know, they're flying stuff in from China now. And now the story's changed. I don't know if you've seen this morning.
No.
But what they're saying is it's not the shortage of PPE. It's the fact that the PPE is one size fits all. So they tend to make them for blokes.
Oh,
so
right.
The PPE doesn't really help females in the healthcare sector.
And it has to fit properly. That's the whole point.
And that's the whole point. And they're saying it doesn't. And that's why it's no good. So there's so many different issues here.
But if you look at Vietnam, their figures, they seem to have handled it really, really well. But whether we're getting the true figures...
Well, that's the problem. You don't know.
And whether we got the true figures from Beijing. And I'm pretty sure, from what I've read, that China, you know, held this back from us for months.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you know what? I'm absolutely 99.9% sure my mum had COVID in January.
Well, funny you should say that, because my hairdresser in Herne Bay, about three of her staff said exactly the same thing. Had a nasty dry cough. They couldn't get rid of it. They felt awful. Temperature, sweating in the bed. And the driving instructor that they all knew very well had been to China in December.
Yeah.
So I think you may well be right. We're coming to the end of our... is that you playing the maracas there?
Yeah, it's fun.
I thought you were on an xylophone. We're coming to the end of our little chat, Paul, and it's been really nice to connect with you. I know we've had a few texts and things, and but I have missed the old bunker rants and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's nice to talk to you and to know that you're still hanging in there.
Yeah. How much weight have we put on?
Oh, don't even go there. Do you know what? Before this, I was doing really well. I'd lost a stone and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all back.
Yeah. But are you doing your daily walk?
My what?
Daily exercise.
My daily what?
Exercise. Oh. Sorry, I thought it was your hearing there. Well, I am walking, and it's interesting to see so many people, you know, where I live, joggers and cyclists that I haven't seen. They're all new. So maybe... The one takeaway from this is that many people can work from home or from hot desking, and they don't need these big corporates.
Oh, that's good.
Time. Can I zoom in with you again next week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So from me and Paul Andrews, I'm in sunny Whitstable and Paul's in sunny Tenterden. Paul's going to carry on now with the Business Bunker, and I'll speak to you very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The thoughts of Chairman Jules there. It was good to catch up with her and to talk over some of the things that have been happening over the last few weeks. And as she said at the end of that, we'll probably record another one, at least another one, and see how we go on from there. I've had a tweet in line with that. From the lovely Tracy Ferguson, listening to what we were talking about, and she said, I totally agree with Jules and Paul. I've made the decision to buy a lot more in my local corner shop going forward. I've always chosen indie coffee shops, etc., over chains. Money's tight here too, but it's so important to try and support our indie shops. I hope they all survive and thrive. Absolutely. Do you know, one of the reasons we don't use small independent shops is we do think that they're more expensive. But in fact, they're not always, do you know. They're really not. If you check, I mean, my local shop is no more expensive than Tesco's. It really isn't for the vast majority of things. And it's so important that we support our local businesses, because that's what makes the economy work. Somebody's just sent me a tweet about Virgin Atlantic as well. Gatwick's to remain closed, and Virgin has cut 3,000 jobs. And they're reshaping and resizing. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the airline industry has been hit massively by this and will continue to shake out. There's been shakeouts in the airline industry. I don't know if you know, but Virgin isn't owned by a British company anymore. It's 40% owned by Delta, the American company. They were also about to be partly bought by a Spanish company, but I don't know if that went through. But they're laying off staff, as are BA and many other airlines. So loads of businesses are being hit, and I think that's going to be the story for many, many months going forward, sadly, is we're going to be hearing about business failures and business downsizing, and all kinds of things. Alison has sent me a link as well from the lovely Vicky Eames, and it's one of her local support things. It's cv19supporthub.org. Do check that out, cv19supporthub.org. It's a great resource. You can sign up as a user and submit your case studies there. So do check that out. That looks really useful. I'm going to have a look at that when I go off air. I've got another what to do for social distancing by industry. And this one's for construction. If you've got a building site or you're working in the construction industry, you need to advise staff to wash their hands frequently using soap and water for at least 20 seconds, and especially after blowing their nose, sneezing or coughing. On arrival at work, before and after eating and after using public transport, and when they get home. Where facilities to wash hands are not available, hand sanitizer should be used. You should still advise staff to keep 2 meters apart as much as possible, but you should plan work to minimize contact between workers and avoid skin-to-skin and face-to-face contact. Where face-to-face contact is essential, this should be kept to 15 minutes or less wherever possible. And as much as possible, keep groups of workers working together in teams. So don't mix them up. Have the same people working together at all times, and therefore, you know, their contact doesn't exponentially increase. Staff should also wash their hands each time before getting into enclosed machinery, such as diggers, and wash their hands every time they get out. To help with this, you should consider adding additional pop-up hand-washing stations or facilities providing soap and water and or hand sanitizer. Employees should keep windows of enclosed machinery or enclosed spaces open for ventilation and be careful to avoid touching their face at all times. The inside of cabs should be regularly cleaned, particularly between use by different operators. To protect your staff, you should remind colleagues daily to only come into work if they are well and no one in their household is self-isolating. So the general instructions seem to be to continually wash your hands using soap and water for at least 20 seconds. If you can't wash your hands, use sanitizer. It's about personal hygiene. It's about not sneezing and coughing or spluttering in anybody's general direction, really. Okay, a piece of good news, I think, to finish up on. At its first fully virtual planning committee meeting last week, Ashford Borough Council has given the green light to Newton Works, an ambitious £250 million project centred on the delivery of TV and film studios in Ashford. Once-in-a-generation film studio-led development has got the go-ahead, and Amazon and Netflix are among the expected bidders for the studio space. Planning approval has been granted for Newtown Works, an ambitious £250 million studio-led regeneration of the derelict railway works in Ashford. Amazon and Netflix are among a number of global streaming giants poised to back the scheme. Ashford Borough Council's Planning Committee approved the game-changing plan application on Wednesday the 22nd of April, green-lighting the transformation of the railway works site. And it's been derelict and abandoned since the 1980s. So it's a brownfield site anyway. And it really, really did need developing. The development will put Ashford on the map as a key UK hub for the creative industries, boosted further by fast connections to London and Europe from the adjacent International Railway Station. That's a fantastic thing. I'm really pleased that they've given the go-ahead to do that. And let's hope that Amazon, Netflix and other streaming companies take up that opportunity and invest in what will be one of the south of England's biggest creative hubs. We really do look forward to that. I want to tell you about a couple of other things before I go off air. The Romney Marsh Community Support Hub. They've had hundreds of calls through the hub, lots of requests for community meals, home carer advice, lots of volunteer applications being processed, lots of people helped. If you live on the marsh and you need assistance of any kind, call them. They're open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, and you can call them on 01797 208590. So we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for spending the 2 hours with me. I hope you found it useful. There's lots of information about. Do have a look on the Kent Business Radio website. Everything we talk about is listed there under the blog section. Do check that out. I want to say a huge thank you to our guests this week, Mr. Mark Greenwood of Williams Property Management, Alison Palmer of the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway, and Jill Serkin of Jill Serkin Media. Thank you so much to all of them. Thank you to our sponsors, Thackeray Williams, the solicitors, and also Fit for Trade. Thank you to all the listeners for participating, for tweeting, for emailing, and for joining in. We'll be back with another Business Bunker show next Tuesday. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.